All right, so Pastor G is going to be teaching our lesson this morning. It's on the subject of church membership and discipline. And so he's going to come up and he's going to teach on the lesson. And then when he is finished, hopefully before 10:30, we will have a quick recap that I'll do. And we will get ready for our morning service. Come on, brother. And he's going to switch mics so that he can run around a little bit.
So if it's on red, it means it's good.
No, if it's on red, then you are not making noise. It needs to be green. Just push it from that way.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and pray this morning to open up our lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this place that we could teach. Lord, we thank you for our doctrinal statement that we have in our church here. Lord, we just pray that we can learn some of the subjects this morning and why it's important to be a member and what a member is, Lord. And Lord, the discipleship and the discipline of a member, Lord, we just pray that it will help someone today. Lord, we just pray that it will help our growth here at the church as well. Lord, we just thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Church membership, okay, on number one, we believe that the church members are those who have been saved, as described in our documentations here. So salvation, we believe that salvation is a gift from God, right? It's given to man by the grace and received by personal faith in Lord Jesus Christ, whose precious blood was shed on Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. There's plenty of texts that we refer to, like John 1:12. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, gave ye power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 7, we'll see that it says, "And whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace."
Yes, sir.
And as I witness to a lot of people, I ask them, how do you get saved? And a lot of people will say, through baptism, right? Or church membership. That's not how we get saved.
That's right.
The Bible says, because that would be considered as a work. And work we do not depend on for our salvation. So, for a member, we need to understand that. But it says in Ephesians chapter 8, or 2, 8 and 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." And then we see in 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, we believe that God is not willing that any should perish."
Amen.
"But that all should come to repentance. We neither are Calvinistic or Arminian. Two, and baptized in this church as described here. As baptism, we believe that all who had received Christ as the Lord and Savior should be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that baptism is by immersion in the likeness of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We believe that baptism publicly identifies with Christ and adds the individual to the local church under whose authority they are being baptized. And then we'll see in Matthew, is some examples here in Matthew chapter 26, 26 through 30. Then in Matthew chapter 28 and 19 and 20, we are all familiar with the Great Commission. Sorry, things I dropped distracts me. We see that there's a couple commands in the Great Commission. And who is that for? That's for us, right? And if we are members of the church, that's directly for us. So there's some commands there. It says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." In verse 20, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So, if we go out and collect the people, what are we supposed to do with them?
Teach them, baptize them.
Yes, we are to teach and baptize them, but to what? Some club? To some organization? To church, right? Of course, we want to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then after we do that, we should bring them to church. Church is where we discipline ourselves in the Word of God, study the Word of God, like it's described in 2 Timothy. And we need to make sure that we are directing them towards a biblical church, which is, we believe in the inspired Word of God, right? And preserved. Okay, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 through 6. If you want to turn there, I'll give you a second there. Romans 6, verse 3 through 6. All right. "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ has raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that in henceforth we should not serve sin." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, "They then that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So if we go and we get these people, they were added to something. What were they added to?
Church.
Like I said, was it no club or organization? And if it's not Bible, it's not a church. If it's not teaching Bible doctrine, it's not a church. So they were added somewhere. So then we continue reading our statement. It says, "Baptized, that is by a Baptist church whose doctrine lined up with the doctrine of the Bible as lined out here in this statement. We believe that membership transfers are possible based upon the authority of the sending church and acceptance of receiving church upon the declaration of an agreement with a statement of faith and church covenant." And we see an example in Acts chapter 2, and it goes on, is a long chapter. I do not have the time to read it today, but There are some examples here in Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost fully come, and they accord in one place. They all met in one place. And let's see in Philippians chapter 2 this morning with me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25 through 30 says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send you to the Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and that ministers to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because he had heard that he has been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all the gladness, and hold such a reputation, because for the work of Christ he has nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack in service towards me." We see that some places have requirements. Some places will have requirements to join a bowling team, right? Some have requirements to join some kind of lodge or schools. But it doesn't replace the place of church. And we are also autonomous. We talked about that earlier sessions about autonomous. We could make our own rules and ideas on what our church needs to be and follow what our teaching that we get from Bible. So our church does have requirements to become a member. And those are good things, because they are biblical. First of all, we saw that we had to be first. We need to be born again believers. If you go join a bowling club, you're probably not going to be necessarily required to be a born-again believer. Right. So there's a difference. It's a good thing. That's where we put our foundation is, with God and also His Word. So there's some requirements and different things to say, well, how do you join the church? Well, I don't know about any church. But this church, we believe in different things. First, we believe that if you're born again, you could testify with your testimony that, hey, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will then follow you with baptism, because it comes as an obedience. As we are talking about there in Matthew with the Great Commission. Also, there's different things that were like transfer letters from the church, like faith and practice. Okay, so you're going to say, well, Pastor G, how did you get how did you become a member here? Did you get baptized into our church tank? No, I was not baptized here at Glory Baptist Church. I was baptized in a church like faith that has the very, very similar. Then I was a member of another church. And then when Pastor called me, I had him talk to my pastors and the retiring pastor, and got recommendation to transfer my membership over to this church. And if he didn't do so, it would have just been my word, which is probably, after getting to know me within like 2 weeks, that wasn't going to work, right? Usually, if we get to know somebody in 2 weeks, they're not typically going to get baptized right then. It's not that we don't want to baptize. Usually, we want to make sure that you understand what you're doing. make sure that you understand where we're coming from and that we're on the same page on teaching. Because if you're not, and you don't know that, you could be being discord with our people, right? It could be a little bit of different things that creep in the door. So it's important that we follow different things. And it'd be like an alien coming from a Catholic church to a Baptist church and not knowing anything going on. So we do not want to be like that. So be like faith, transfer. And then I mentioned about the statement of faith. Then there's also, we would be talking about restoration after church discipline. If you leave one church to come to another church to become a member, you got that wrong. There's no reason to leave another church with your problems to go to another church with those same problems without being resolved.
That's right.
It's not biblical. It's not an example that we are taught by the Word of God in any shape or form. We need to make it right with our brother or sister or our church. There's no reason to run away with discipline, hanging on to there. We can talk about that a little bit later. Okay, so we go on stating too, down the lines without me reading it all, that our position here, that we as pastors and deacons will do like a walk through our doctrine statement with you, our covenant with you, our promise for you as a believer to join us, and we ask for them to do the same, and with the agreements, we will put them as the members of the church. Another way is if you baptize into the church, we believe as this church, this body, believes that when we baptize you here, that we are now members when you come out of that water, apparently, right? Because you already agreed to all these things that we have covenant together. Otherwise, you wouldn't probably make it in the dunk tank. But the baptismal tank is purposely put that way, because if, say, if you're not saved, you're not going to get baptized. So that will eliminate missing the step of baptism, right? Which is the first obedience. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that's why we have this before the membership. Also, we'll see here. There is responsibilities of the members, and they're discussed in the church packet. If you want to see those listed, you can see many of them. But as a church member, I believe, and I also preach behind this pulpit, that every member is important, and every member is important to serve where God given their gifts and talents. So we are members. We're responsible to be that vessel, to be used by Him. And our testimony means a lot. The Bible talks about having a good name. First of all, how about your name for yourself? Does it see Christ through your name? Second of all, if you're a member of the church, you're bringing your name with the church. You're bringing the church name with you. You're bringing God's testimony with you. So, as a member, you should have a good name all the way around. It is important. I have several conversations on the phone with people and in person. I don't need church. I'm okay with being at home. Just me and God. Or because of some issues that might have happened in the past. We need to break down those walls. We need to repair those walls, get our relationship right with God, and be in our church services.
Right. Amen.
Church attendances are are important. I spoke to people often. I know Pastor has too. But people are so emotionally upset. They get upset. They're mad at someone. They're mad at something. And they hold grudges. And some will say, why isn't God talking to me? Well, if we boil it down, it's not necessarily because you're not in church. It's because your barrier that you built there is blocking you. God cannot stand sin. He won't stand sin.
Right.
And that will hurt your relationship. So you're going to get lonely with yourself. The only way to heal it is to get over those things. Get active with your relationship with God. Find believers, like other members in church, to help you heal. Like I say, God does not do that. The devil can put ways in our lives to direct us towards that way, but we are the ones that make choices, and we can make the good choice and say, devil, get behind me. God, I want you in front of me. Look at the cross. And then stand for it. Leave your home, if you're able to, and come to a body of believers so that you will be edified. You'll be helping each other. So attendance is good, as well as being a member. Work responsibilities in the church is good. Everybody should have a job in the church.
Amen.
And then... financials things are also helpful for a church, but we do not charge you to become a member of this church.
Right.
I read online, Pastor, this morning, 2 o'clock this morning, 3 o'clock this morning. Can you believe, Pastor, you've got to pay to meet some church members or be in a membership role? There's websites that I saw. There are websites. Everybody, technology nowadays, right? Everybody gets on their phones, iPads, cell phones, computers, right? Everybody has those. So if you know what websites are. All right, I'm not that old then. So if you get on there and you can see these website advertising for church membership, how do you up your church membership? How do you up your fundraising? You know, our church is not asking those questions to get you in here, right? So church is for sinners, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners, so church is for sinners. Is church necessarily here for the unbelievers? No. Now, we are sinners, but we are saints too, because we are believers, right?
Yes and no.
Yes. The church is here for the saved, right? So we get our instructions, so we could get our teaching, so we could get our doctrine straight, and then we could go out and know what we're doing. And we come back and replenish it, and we also get edification also. But at the same time, maybe this is pastor's going too, where the other thing is that... it's not like just to bring a bunch of people here to be like more like a club and then hope they get saved. But if they were invited to come and they got saved,
amen.
That's the evangelistic part. That's the exciting part, to see people saved amongst family members. I bring my family members to a family reunion or a friend to a family reunion sometimes. And I remember when I was dating, my wife and I, we exchanged family reunions all the time. So, yes, they're important. Family reunions, I told Pastor. Make sure you go to one. What is it, 10 years you go to one?
Well, one of the family. Yeah.
Okay, wow. So anyhow, when I take a friend to a family reunion, they do not necessarily feel like an outsider, because that family crowds them as they communicate with them, they conversate with them, and they make them feel important, right? And then When I married my wife, it became official. She was a family member. But I didn't notice any change in that relationship after I got married because they already adopted her as family. So when a unsaved person comes here and we treat them as family, we show them, they see God through us like an open book. They get saved. Praise God. Praise God. Join the family. Join the family. Get baptized. Hear the word of God. They go out and produce and multiply the church members, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, time. Church discipline. All right. All right, I'll tease you here with the statement then. Everybody line up right here, line up here. I get pastor with a big belt and a big paddle. And we'll line up for discipline this morning. Come next week to see how that works.
I won't whoop you. Keep us live here for a sec. Let me just a real quick recap. A couple things. Recap, and then also a few things that I just threw in here as I was writing my notes. So Pastor G said he kept mentioning joining a bowling team, and he said you don't have to get born again to join a bowling team, but you do have to get bowling again. I'm going to turn this off for now, and then we'll just use this. And then let's see here. Oh, this week, actually, I had a conversation with a Catholic fella, and he asked me about, I guess some things changed with Catholicism, some sort of council. They decided that they will accept all baptisms, except Mormon and whatever. So he said, if I were to come to your church, would you accept my baptism? And I said, why would I need to accept your baptism? And so we started talking about, like, what he said, well, aren't we all trying to, like, reach the world for Christ? Now, that's a really, really very general, broad statement. And that is true. To a very, very general, broad extent. But when you start specifying and talk about how you're trying to reach the world for Christ and what you're trying to do to reach the world for Christ, you begin to have some logistical differences, quite a few. And so I explained to him, I said, well, we have a church statement of faith. And if someone is attending our services, we welcome them to attend. They're welcome to attend as a visitor. And they can come and they can attend and keep coming. But when they're interested in joining the church and becoming a member of the church, then we would ask them to then look at our church covenant and statement of faith. And then we want them to agree with our church covenant and statement of faith. That's our founding principles and documents of our church. And so we believe that those things are important. And so if someone wants to join and be one of us, they would have to then submit to that doctrine. And baptism, one aspect of baptism is a submission to the doctrine of the church that's baptizing you. And so I said, so then if I were to say, well, you're coming from as a Catholic, well, why don't you get for me their catechism and take a copy of that and take our statement of faith and compare them. Do they match? The answer is no. So you would have to then come in line with our statement of faith in order to become a member of our church. Of course, in order to become a member of our church, you also must be biblically saved, not just receiving Christ in the way that Catholicism says that you receive Christ through the sacraments, but receiving Christ in the way that the Bible says that you receive Christ, and that is by faith and the work of Christ and not the work of ourselves. And so that whole discussion on transfers and, you know, this and that, went into a bunch of stuff about it as well. But The way that I describe a church transfer when we're talking about like churches of like faith, when we're talking about other Baptist churches that have the same or very similar statement of faith as we do, and someone wants to join our church from one of those churches, the way I, the analogy that I usually give, since the Bible gives the analogy of a body, it describes the local church as the body of Christ. And so, and I know some people get that confused and they say, well, no, the body of Christ is all believers everywhere. I challenge you to find that anywhere in the Bible. It's not there. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where people try to go to say that you become a member of the body of Christ through some spirit baptism, the verse is taken out of context. It loses its meaning. The point of that verse, it's the power of the Spirit. It is by the Spirit we're baptized. It's not into the Spirit we're baptized. It is by the Spirit we're baptized. And then we become a member of that body. The rest of that chapter talks about how those members work together functionally, practically, and logistically. And so a member of your body. Anybody, hold up a member of your body. Everybody hold up a member of your body. All right. Y'all have hands. All right. Most of you. All of you have hands. All right. So these hands. Amen. 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 You know, some people don't have hands. Pastor G's got a foot. All right, these hands, if Brother Terry did not have a left hand and he needed a left hand, and I had two of them, I'm kidding. Now, if he needed a left hand and I was willing to give him my left hand, well, let's back up. If he needed a left hand, he can't just walk up to me and snatch my left hand, right? With his right hand, because he doesn't have a left hand to snatch it with. He can't just do that. It's not okay, right? If I had kidneys are usually an easier one because you know you have two of them. You can function on one. Let's say he's got one bad kidney, and the other one's not there, and he needs a kidney, and we're a match. Okay, we look at our statement of faith and we see that we're a match, right? Our DNA. Matches, our blood type matches, all the things that go into matching, matches. And so we say, okay, good, we're a match. This is great. He's been hanging out with me long enough. He knows me. I know him. We're a match, and he can have my kidney if I give him permission. He can't hire a professional, Pastor G, and conk me over the head and take my kidney and then install it in himself. Can't do that. That's wrong. That's theft. That's the same thing with church members. If we have someone visiting here from another church, maybe we've known them for a while, maybe we've known the other church for a while, we know them well enough to know our DNA lines up. It's the same. We're the same stripe. We're the same kind of creature. And if that person were to desire to move from one body to another, then with the proper permissions, it could work. That's the general basis of transfer. But then there's another step that a lot of churches miss. And that is, you've got to call that other church. That other church needs to be not informed, but the request needs to be made. You can't just snatch a kidney and make it your own. You got to have permission from the body that's given it up. Right? Now, I know there's like black market stuff and all that, but we're not into that, okay? So a transfer is the same. You make sure everything lines up, and then you call the body, and typically the body is going to be, I don't know if I want to get too technical with this, but maybe you're calling the guy's attorney or his doctor, his physician, his representative. So you're calling the pastor, right? Usually the pastor of the receiving church would call the pastor of the sending church or giving, donating church, and would say, hey, so-and-so has been attending our services. We did this, Brother Holderman. He came from McGregor Road. And, Brother Holderman, he'd been attending our services for a few years, and actually, I had been keeping it open with Pastor Kaiser and everything, and he kept asking me, hey, you got our kidney over there. When are you going to receive him? And I said, well, I want to make sure it's good with you guys. And then eventually he was like, yep. And then I asked the kidney, and the kidney said, yeah, let's do it. And so we went ahead and we did a transfer, right? And we had the physicians involved, you know, the great physician, and we've just received him in. We knew he believed the way we believe. We believe the way he believes, and so we covenanted to receive him in. And then we had a little bit of a period of time. A lot of times this happens, right? You have a period of time. This is an analogy, by the way. Sometimes analogies will break down, but there's a period of time where you had to make sure that the new organ is going to accept the body that it's coming into, and the body is going to accept the organ. There is a getting used to it period, right? And you say, well, we don't really deal with that much. That's probably because we just carry the organ around for so long, making sure it's going to be good with us, and then we put it in. That's probably why we don't have a problem with, you know, the body rejecting the organ or whatever as much. Although I feel like we could probably move the process the other way so that we don't have, you know, you got a period of time, you can figure it out. You know, if it's not going to work, then you just call up that other pastor and say, what was wrong with you? Why did you? No, I'm kidding. anyhow, but, and he's been a member now a couple few years or something. And so the kidney fits. Amen. But anyhow, that's as far as transfers. Now, the only exception to this would be in a case that the body is dead. I know some of y'all are thinking, what happens if they're from a church that's no longer around? We just did that with somebody else, you know, like a month ago or so. What's that? That's right. Every church, every biblical church, by nature of its existence, is an organ donor. When it dies, all of its members are available to be donated to viable churches before they die, before the members. And by the way, it's important as a member to be attached because you need the blood flow. Amen. The blood flow. Amen. And so many analogies are good. You need the blood flow from the Word of God. You need the nourishment from the church. It's absolutely vital. You must have that connection. Amen. And so we'll talk about some of that next week when we look at church discipline. And all of that. By the way, he mentioned something about, now he didn't use this term, but I'm going to use it because it's the term that people use, being fed. Amen. Being fed. Let me, just for a moment, touch on that. All right. So, it is not your pastor's problem if you're not being fed.
Amen.
I am telling you, 90%, now I will say probably 10% of the time it is, okay? 90% of the time, the person who comes to a preacher and says, preacher, we're just not being fed, 90% of the time, there are several things going on. One, my question first is, first question is, you have to be at the mealtime to be fed. So if you're not at the mealtime, you're not going to get fed. Be here. Amen? Yeah, not spoon-fed. That's right. You got to be here. Now, if you're at the mealtime and you're sleeping, you're not getting fed because you're not opening your mouth. You're not receiving the word. If you're at the mealtime and you're doing anything else that's taking your attention off of the meal, you're not being fed. That's your fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not the preacher's job to beat you over the head and shove the fork down your throat. The preacher's job is to have it ready. We'll give it up. You eat it. You know, you can lead a believer to the meal, but you can't make him eat, right? Got to eat, right? The next question I'm going to ask is, how often do you eat physical food? Do you eat every day? Oh, yeah, every day, yeah. How many times every day do you eat? Oh, at least 3. Okay. Well, hold on. Let me ask you, how many times you eating outside of church services? Can you survive Can you survive on one meal a week coming Sunday morning only? Can you survive on that? Absolutely not. You cannot spiritually survive on one meal a week. You can't spiritually survive on three meals a week. You can't make it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can't spiritually survive on four meals a week. Even if you gorge yourself on Sunday and it's all day long, you're going to die in the middle of the week. You can't survive on just the church services. You can put this Pastor Campbellism here. Man shall not live on church services alone. You need to be in the Word every day. And by the way, one time a day probably also isn't enough. That's still fasting. Yes. But one time, don't fast the Word of God. You need to be full of the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
Amen. It ought to be in you, and it ought to be what you're all about. I know we get busy. I get busy. I've got so... There are so many things that I do that I don't even know how five people could do the things that I do. Well, I do know it's the Lord Jesus. He takes care of it all. But the fact is, you gotta eat more than just church services. Okay, so those are the, being fed. You want to be fed? Get in the Word. Get fed. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're gonna let me see here. Yes, we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being able to open it this morning. Lord, help us. Help us to open it all the time, not just in church services, but Lord, may we seek to be fed from your word every day, throughout the day.